Assembly of the whole committee meeting is called to order. Review of proposed fiscal year 23 municipal budget government funds. Item A, general fund. Steve?
Roll call.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Roll call.
Mayor Cremata.
Here.
Bass.
Here.
Burnham.
Here.
Hanson.
Here.
Potter.
Here.
Henry.
Here.
Hilton.
Here.
Quorum is established.
Manager Ryan, you want to introduce budget?
I can. So you have the general fund budget in front of you. I think there's probably a bit of a story to be told with it.
Sure.
We started this budget process essentially with all the department heads coming in, telling us what they want. And me being very careful to explain to them, don't get crazy, don't get extravagant. We had a year of nearly 700,000 passengers this year. We're doing everything we can to have a better year next year, but I'm still planning on 60% for next year. And with that, they all gave me their budgets. We tried to cut things out initially. And that was, you know, last week and early this week. And then Tuesday, I walked into Heather Rodig telling me I needed to either cut $1.9 million in expenses for the general fund or find $1.9 million in revenue or compromise. So we did a bit of both. And that was in light of trying to stay within what we would get from CPV funds this year, paid in March next year. So we went through all of that. We adjusted the CPV amounts throughout the budget. We cut things, things that I don't really know that I wanted to cut, but we cut them anyway to get the budget down. And now you have a balanced general fund budget. In it, you have $3.8 million subsidy from CPV funds to balance the general fund budget. You also have, if you're keeping in mind what other things may happen, you're going to have about another $1.1 million in utility subsidies. So that totals $4.9 million spent. You haven't seen that and you won't see it in this budget, but I'm just telling you that for your reference going to this budget. You'll have $4.9 million in CPV expenditures to utilities, which means that we're dipping into our CPV reserve funds of approximately $10 million. We believe we're going to bring in around $3.5 million in March from CPV from this year. So I think one of the things that's really perplexing, and before I go through the budget, is we're set up in the sense that when the economy grows here with tourism, we get 1.3 million people next year, and sales tax goes way up. Property tax is still, it doesn't go up proportionately, right? And property tax pays our operating and our general fund, 2.2 million. Sales tax is limited so that you can only use a certain amount of it. So we can only transfer sales tax at $1.9 million this year. Do I have that right, Heather? The equivalent of 4.5 mils. That's in code. Other municipalities, sales tax goes into the general fund. We have done this for a reason, and I'm not sure, I haven't dove into why we did this or when we did this. But what happens is we build these departments to service the tourists that come here in the summer, the 1.3 million people that show up here. We need a full-time fire department ready to respond to those calls. I just talked to Chief Rauscher. We had as many calls this year as we did in 2019 with just the 700,000 or so. We build the police department to respond. We build public works to do that, you know, to rebuild boardwalks and everything we need to do, you know, redo the Gold Rush Cemetery Road. So we build these up. You know, we have park and rec attendants and groundskeepers to do that in our general fund, but we don't have that access to sales tax to offset it. And so I think that's a problem that we need to think about, because if you take and you want to make up that deficit by increasing the mill rate, I think you have to go to 12.5 mils to make that up instead of the CPV fund subsidy. I always look at Heather, make sure I'm right. So when you think about that, that seems crazy, right? You're going to go to 12.5 mils to make that up. I think we need to look seriously at sales tax. It's the people that are here spending the money that cause us to build our infrastructure up to meet that, whether it's roads. I mean, and I know we're not talking water and sewer, but sewer plants, you name it, we're always building for that. Multiple people go in the Tyah River. How do we respond to that? How do we have enough equipment to respond to that? You know, we don't right now. You know, I cut out Chief Roucher's floating rescue boat yesterday in her budget, right? We're not there because we've got to make some cuts somehow. How do we get there? So I think that's an important and maybe a bigger discussion to have a consideration with. Also, it's not in this budget, but there's the port, and the port budget looks pretty promising, right? We have the vessel impact fee. We have dockage now. It looks promising. One of the problems we have is with all those port fees is how does that help offset the cost to our general fund? And what I don't have in here right now is if you look at code right now, port fund, you know, 120107, I believe, it tells you that we can use PILT, payment in lieu of taxes, as if the Port of Skagway was a, you know, privately held interest. We can take those taxes and have them paid to the general fund for operation. So I think we should consider that. And we have an estimate right now of somewhere around $480,000 in PILT that could go to this and offset that $3.8 million subsidy. So I think those are all bigger considerations. And I'm going to hopefully, if you're interested in that, get that solidified. We're working on it. We're looking at waterfront zones or paying now. You have to justify that PILT. It has to be legitimate, right? And that we'll have to do over the years. But I think that's a good way to think about bringing money into the general fund that port fund is really impacting the rest of the municipality with, outside of just the CPP. With that, I can go through the individual budgets if you'd like. If that's what you'd like to do, and we can ask questions at the end of each of them. Does that work for you all?
Sure.
Okay. So I think you have this packet in front of you. Do I have that correct? I would look, I think, jump to the second page of this and look, because I know it's always a question, what percentage of the departments are being allocated to CPB? And you can just look down that. You have the admin budget, the executive office budget, recreation center, et cetera, and they just all flow down through there. So you're aware of what CPB fund. It's easy to see, at least on that page. And some of these are newly named departments. It used to be, for example, the borough manager budget is now the executive office because we have a deputy manager and an executive assistant, you know, with Emily Deitch and Alana Lawson in there. With that, and you have clerk's office and assembly, which used to just be assembly. So there's some splits out of that. If you go to the admin budget, it is the one budget, I guess, you're going to see revenue reduced in, but the reality is the rest of them you're going to see revenue increased in for the most part because of the CPV transfer. It's not true that we've all of a sudden magically increased revenue in all the departments. It's that the CPV allocation is showing that increased revenue. As far as the admin budget goes, there's nothing in there that is, you know, really groundbreaking outside of. You'll see a 52% reduction in revenue. That's because we don't have the ARPA in there this year, where we had last year. That's the grant funding. And then you'll also see a reduction in expenses if you scroll down. And that's primarily because Alana has moved into the executive office administration budget. Steve has moved out into the assembly budget. And the expenses that are associated with them go with them. So you see that reduction of 16%. I don't know if there are questions on this that you want to ask. Anyone? No? Okay. If you move on to the executive office budget, that's the one that was formerly the borough manager. Now you have myself, Emily Deitch, and Alana in there, and our associated expenses that go with that. So travel, utilities, et cetera. And the utilities are just allocated based on department. Questions on that one? Nope. Okay. Rec center. There's the first, like, well, obvious, like, bump in revenue. It's really CPV funds that are the increase in revenue there. And then you can just see that it's a pretty standard budget. We're between directors right now. So Heather primarily drew this up. You can see an increase there. Has to do with staff wages mostly. And no addition of employees or anything like that in that one. No. We can move on to the assembly budget. So this one has changed dramatically. If you look through this, sure I didn't miss anything back here. You can see there, you know, it's gone up as far as expenses considerably. We've moved Steve in there. We've moved the deputy borough clerk in there. We also have about $100,000 in board payments, the $50 per attendance for board payments. And I think, well, you have the daycare assistant grant at $80,000, which is, if to were to launch under that grant program, it's two $40,000 payments to each of them. So that's what we have in there. We also have legal up quite a bit. I'm not sure where that's at, but we've been tracking legal a lot closer now. We've really been allocating it to departments. And so anything that's kind of, we try to judge as assembly directed, we put in there. I think $150,000 is probably high, but I just don't know at this point. I don't know that there's other things in there that are standouts. If you have any questions. Oh, government relations, that used to be in admin. That's our lobbyist. Nothing. Okay. Fire department. Again, we have CPV and ARPA standing this one up, and that's what we planned on doing with ARPA, and we've been sticking to that. We've used ARPA to keep the draw of CPV down. You will see if you go through the fire department budget, a pretty significant increase of 30%. That is staffing. We went through the audit. We went to public safety, I think, a couple of times to talk about this and have full coverage year round and a full, you know, EMS fire department response. So that's what you have in there. We have tried to keep some of the other expenses down, you know, travel and training. It used to be about $75,000. We got it down to 40, and it hasn't been at 75 for a while because I've kept it under wraps. But in 2019, I think that's where it was at. Utilities are in allocation. We kept the equipment really low. I don't know that there's a lot to say outside of we have now. Well, we are hiring now a full contingent of firefighters, and that's why you see the increase there. Questions? No. If you move on to library.
Orion, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Orion, go
quick
ahead.
Quick question on the fire department CPV funding. It seems to me on the first page, the budget is for the fire department is 1.6 million, if I read that right. And 68% of that would not be 911,000.
You're right. We got the percentage wrong on there. I actually have a note fixed on mine because Heather told me it's 56%, 56.5%, not 68%. CPV funding.
But we could be 68%.
We could, but we're using ARPA and we're trying to maintain our CPV.
For port uses?
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, we could go back and dig deeper into our CPV fund balance. I'm trying to preserve it so we can get through this port project and hang on to it. It's not that we can't go do that. It's just that we're trying to preserve our CPV fund balances for projects. I think it's all going to wash out eventually, you know, when we get the port in place and those types of items. But right now I'm trying to keep it down. It's something that is closer to what we're actually receiving from this year.
Okay. Thank you.
So we were on. We're under the library. Not a lot to say about the library. The library is running a nice, efficient show over there. And nothing's really changed from them. It's just personnel. And they seem to be clicking along nicely. And we don't have any big changes in mind with them. Museum is very similar. No real big changes. I did eliminate one of their seasonals in this budget and cut them a little bit. But really, again, they're just kind of running a relatively small budget without any increases. If you look at the museum, there's a education expense there, $17,500, and it's really a savings account that they have, and then you can see it down below. So it doesn't cost municipality anything. They've had that. It's a savings account, essentially, that they have that they utilize. So it's $17,500 on the top in revenue, and it's $17,500 in the expense. And that's whatever they decide to do with it, you know, finish up the canoe 3D rendering or buy a piece of artwork or curate whatever they're going to do, but it doesn't hit our actual budget. It's a wash. So if they don't spend the $17,500, we don't get it back. And if they do spend it, we don't pay it, essentially.
Brad, on the, for the just for the salaries for the museum, we're looking at it increased by 23.6%, but you're saying you dropped an employee. Is that just then representative or a representation of the pay increase? Or
it's pay increase, and then that really also is affected by employees that are there longer. So that pay increase is felt more. You know, if you were a first year, you know, step one, you get a $5 increase, but if you were a step 15, you would have a greater increase because of that 2% as you bump up per step. So yeah, it has to do, it's the salaries. Even though I removed one person, I mean, removing that one seasonal was a $14,000 savings. So it was very minor, but it's something.
Thank you.
Police department. Again, I think Chief Reddick came in pretty frugal. He still suffered a few little cuts in there and travel and training. One thing that you might notice, there is $115,000 for the Title III. Title III is pretty specific, you know, police, fire, and you see it down below in the expense. So if we expend it, and we do need to expend it, we keep hearing every year it's going to expire and we're going to lose it. So we don't want to lose it. They keep extending it. Who knows how long they'll do that. And we're trying to get them through the audit on a vehicle replacement schedule. And I believe that's what we're going to try to use a good chunk of this $115,000 for. That's my intent right now. I would like to see the results of the audit before I did that and make sure that we're making the right decision. And when we do that, I would intend to take one of the police vehicles that we wouldn't be using and repurpose it to another department. You know, whether I haven't decided which department yet, but I should have that discussion. Communications, not a lot here. It's the same staff, the same level. We've gotten the R&M down. Hopefully we won't need it. It's dispatch. It's five dispatchers. That's what it is. Public Works. What I did to Public Works. So Public Works came in and we talked through this a lot. Tyson would really like to replace a grader. He's got a very old grader. The grader's $500,000. So it was an easy place to cut for me when I looked at that deficit when I came in. This is one of those things I don't really feel good about it. I think we should keep our equipment up. I would like to be buying a grader and replacing it, but I'm also just looking at money. Like, what do I do? Also, I cut streets. I worked hard to keep streets up in money. I think we need to keep our streets in good shape. We're always working on them, But I did look back in the past. We haven't spent $140,000. I kept it at 110. It was 140 last year. But I think it's important to keep that work up. And I think if we could have gotten more crew on, we would have gotten more done. And I'll go back to the, you know, this is one of the crews that we really do build up to meet the needs of the tourists. And that was to my earlier sales tax conversation. You know, we have two mechanics on board. We're trying to keep everything running. We have, you know, they're out hammering and pounding nails in the rain right now on boardwalks. They're, you know, they're trying to keep things in place in this very short, tight time window. And this crew can use all the people and help they can get. Park and Rec, we'll move on down to that one. We didn't put CPB in the Park and Rec. And I also, to keep the budget down, cut two of the seasonal groundskeepers. We have five, a trail lead and a trail crew as well. We would have had seven. We don't usually seem to be able to hire them. We did in 2020. That crew was awesome. They did some amazing work on the backside of Lower Dewey. But you know, to cut some costs, we cut two seasonal groundskeepers. That saved, that was about a $50,000 expense for those two seasonal groundskeepers. Bonds, if you have questions on those, we can answer them. They're just locked in. There's not a lot to say about them. Lands is very similar. We do have a contractual line in there, expense of $30,000. There's always something that comes up with lands. Usually it's contractual, so we left it in there. I can think of like West Creek subdivision, unless we're going to put that in the CP project. So we got 30 grand in there. And then there's the visitors department. we have, again, it's pretty much a status quo budget. You can, RV park might be of interest and might be a big change. Depends on what the archaeologists find in the assembly's decision. But you know, the revenue was about $230,000 this year. So we left it that. But I'm aware that that could change. And the expense was about $170,000 by the time we're done. But again, that goes out for bid. So we don't know where that's going to be for next year. It goes out for RFP. What I did is I did cut their marketing. They wanted $130,000. That's what they had last year. I cut it down to 100. And I also cut the tourism best management practice in half, about 7,500. Was 15,000. It really hasn't gotten launched. We're, you know, we want it to be launched, but we just haven't gotten a good full year yet. And we, next year would be the year to really try to launch it. With that, I can entertain any questions. Department heads are here as well.
If anybody's got any questions or commentary, just feel free to express yourself.
Brad, and just a quick question. Some of the items like the museum and a few other places, the revenue doesn't equal the expenses, and I don't see transfers there. While in some categories, it shows that those revenue and expenses equal out. Why do some departments show that and some don't? Is it just a bookkeeping item? If you look at like, oh, the museum, for example.
Any of the departments that don't balance, they're being funded by, on that first page, there's the inflows of general resources. So their property tax, our community assistance program through the state, any kind of payments that we get, PILT from the federal government, those all fall into kind of an admin bucket. So that helps to subsidize all the departments that don't cover their own expenses. But police and fire, you see them balancing because of the ARPA and the CPV. So there's no other general fund that covers that those departments.
So even though we don't see those items in there, we can assume there's not a deficit. It's just that we're not seeing where the revenue is coming in.
Correct.
From those other agencies.
Yeah, okay. And we just don't record a transfer in that way to those departments. They're just covered by those general incomes, like the property tax and stuff.
Brad, you mentioned earlier, you're talking about the CPV, that we may have to dip into our CPV savings. Could you just expound on that a little bit? Now, why was that again? What was the scenario where we may have to dip into that savings?
We anticipate yielding about $3.5 million in CPV funds in March. So this year's CPV that we will be allocated will receive in March. But we're looking at spending $3.8 million out of CPV funds to stand up the general fund and an additional $1.1 in utilities. So that's a saving. You know, we have $10 million or so in reserve in CPV that we would dip into to cover that $0.6 million deficit.
So we get the funds for 2022 CPV in March of 23. That would be about 3.8. That won't quite cover it. So we need a little bit from our savings.
It'll be about 3.5, we believe, in 20. It's from 22 paid in 23.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll dip into the savings. Yes.
Okay. It appears that, you know, the majority of the budget, that most of the increases are based on salary increases. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay.
And I would say that's for two reasons. We've added staff and we had a pay increase.
I want to say that I think it's a good idea that you're planning with only 60%. I think that's prudent to only use 60%. When you do say you're using 60%, though, does that mean that you're only anticipating a 60% revenue influx from last year? Or where does that 60% number come
from? When I'm thinking of 60%, I'm thinking 60% of the cruise ship passengers, which then bleeds down to a calculation of 60% of sales tax that we would have gotten, you know, in previous years. You know, we're making estimates, right? So this year, I think we're going to be in the $5 to $5.6 million in sales tax revenue. And we base that off of, you know, that we thought we were going into 60%, you know, so bed tax, whatever else, maybe, you know, CPV, port revenue, all of that. We're thinking about 60% of the cruise ship passengers. Where that doesn't play out is property tax, because property tax is property tax. It doesn't play out in garbage, sewer, and water per se. We're not going to necessarily go ratchet that down. We're going to look at what we got this year and project that to be next year. What I'm not doing is going, oh, we're going to go from 700,000 to, and I'm saying 60% of this, what we see on the schedule for 2023, which is about 1.26 million passengers, right? So 60% of that is about 750,000 passengers. We saw about 700 this year. Maybe we'll go up about 10% in our sales tax estimates based off of what we saw 22 versus 23. I fingers crossed. I hope that's very conservative. And I think I hit on property tax. Like, it won't go down, right? We know what that is. And the enterprise funds have history from this year to look at and project for next year.
Just one last question, and this is probably something I should know, but I don't. So you said earlier that the sales tax, we can only transfer a certain portion of our sales tax to the general fund. Is that correct?
Correct. That's in code.
And what is that percentage again?
It's the equivalent of 4.5 mils off of our property tax.
Where does the rest of the revenue go if we can't go into the general fund?
We have a sales tax fund, and then we can allocate it out to other, you know, CP projects. And what else can we? Yeah.
But when we spend down those funds every year, though, we use all those funds, even though not for something in the general fund, but for other.
We don't always spend it down. We have a reserve in sales tax. I don't know where we're at this year yet. We're working through those other budgets, and it'll really depend on some decisions you make. You know, you're going to see some pretty shocking numbers on different departments that we need to address, and I need guidance on. So,
how are we doing in general? I know since COVID that we really spent down a lot of our rainy day funds. We use those savings. I know we got ARPA funds, and that helped us a lot. How are we with our savings? Are we in a good place, or where are we at?
I think we're in an all right place. It depends on, I think we're in a good place. We really need that bond to come in place so we can do our dock improvements, you know, but we have about $10 million in reserve in CPV. Do you remember sales tax with the reserve? $6.4 million in sales tax reserve. And then we have land funds, and those are not, we don't really touch those. So that doesn't really matter. And we have ARPA.
does a mechanism exist now that replenishes those savings, or are we just not saving right now, spending how we need to, and then we'll save later?
CPV, we're certainly, that's what I'm proposing, is you're going to spend it down a little bit and then you'll have to make it up later. Sales tax remains to be seen for me. Okay. But I think we'll have to dip into sales tax a little bit.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any knowledge why we have a limit on the amount of sales tax that can go into the general fund? Like, why are we the only person in the United States or the only entity that does that? Does anybody know? I was asking around. I couldn't find anybody that understood why we do it. It doesn't make sense to me. Would it be possible to just change that with a simple code change?
I think it would. We were kind of, you know, maybe Dan has an idea.
Initially, the assembly arrived at that by making a calculation to buy down the mill rate to keep it at a level. I think at the time it was in 8.25, something like that, when it should have probably been 14 and a half. If you go to places like Cordova, places like that, and you try and get some parallels. But in any event, we used that 4.5 mil calculation to then get the amount of money that we would need out of sales tax to buy down that rate and maintain it. And it's, I think once we may have gone close or even gotten to 10 mils for our rate for budget, but it was always basically around eight. That's on the cover sheet if you have it.
That's only like part of the issue though, right? Isn't it that we, I mean, if I'm understanding what you're saying, it's not from paying down the mill rate, but like we're restricted in the amount. Heather, am I confused about that? It would be likely today that I'd be confused about it. So I guess if we're paying down the mill rate, we can continue to pay down the mill rate, but we're still restricted in what we can use from sales tax that goes into general fund, right?
Yeah, but what you're doing by doing that is normally your general fund will pay your infrastructural needs. And so as we all know, those are all the burden on all of those is, you know, from the visitor, you know, groups, folks that come into town. So that generates sales tax. So that's why we went there. So it's either you cover the expense of fire department, EMS, police department, and so forth by bringing that mill rate to 14.5, 15 mils, or you buy it down with sales tax and get it to where somebody who is a year-round resident, their property tax doesn't go from $1,500 to $3,700. They're not enjoying any of the benefit of, you know, the visitor income revenue streams, but they have to pay property tax every year.
So why can't we buy it down with sales tax more, I think is the question.
Well, that's, I mean, it ended up in code because of that calculation and where we were at the time. It wasn't that way before we made that calculation. So certainly you can approach it in that manner if you want. Sure.
Heather, could you draw, or and both and manager, could you draw up some kind of recommendation as like what you think would be an appropriate code change that would make the process a little bit easier and bring it a little more up to date?
And at the final point of the discussion on that, of course, we were looking to not, you know, completely gouge the sales tax fund. You know, you're trying to balance as best you can because sales tax also is dedication to fund the school to the cap. You know, so those sort of things was all in the balance in the equation during the discussion as what to do. You don't want to completely deplete one fund that is going to be servicing other things for the use to get to another goal. But if you could get it close, so that's how we arrived at it.
No, that makes sense. You know, it kind of, you know, was wrapping my head around the budget here this week, and it occurred to me that, you know, we have our sales tax holiday, which is great, and we should definitely keep that. I don't know if anybody noticed what they just did in Ketchikan. They had a significant sales tax increase, but it only applies during the summer months. And so I feel like we're getting to a place as we expand, since, you know, we're taking over the port, we're adding employees, we're adding services because of the audit we got from the fire department. It's one of the reasons that budget's gone up so much, that maybe it's time to look at some kind of seasonal sales tax increase that wouldn't affect the year-round population. You know, it's not hugely popular, but, you know, as we look at these services expanding, it may be necessary.
Mayor, if I may.
Yeah.
Initially, when I brought forward to change the sales tax when we had been at 4% forever, the initial motion was to increase the sales tax to 6% and through the second and third quarter, and then have sales tax at 0% during the fourth and first quarter. Thereby, anybody who was a year-round resident effectively is paying 3%. 0% and 6%, half and half, right? That's easy math. Which effectively what that did was reduce a year-round resident's sales tax burden by 25%. You went from down from 4% down to 3%. The assembly defeated that motion. So instead, I, you know, brought the next motion forward. How about if we just do 5% then and 3% in the winter? And that motion was approved, and I think Jay was there, maybe Stephen as well, knowing that we were typically giving a sales tax holiday in the fourth and first quarter. Dan, so effectively, it was just a 5%.
You should consider bringing that one back. That sounds like a great idea.
Well, I think that's where we should be.
Yeah.
You know, with the struggles that we're having, that the manager is elaborating on, and in lieu of Ketchikan, everybody, of course, is always from the business community, not wanting to see a sales tax increase. And sadly, I think mostly from the tourism portion of the community, they look at it in a very simplistic way, that if that customer is willing to pay what the calculation would be with that sales tax, and we raise the sales tax, well, that could be my profit margin. It could be adding to my profit rather than just adding to sales tax. You follow me?
Yeah.
So they would always be against that. But I think my feeling is the same. I think it's probably appropriate at this time, especially with all the struggles we have and just how all the costs have gone up.
We look at a city like Ketchikan that's got a diversity and economy that we don't have, and they have revenue streams we don't have.
Absolutely.
And their citizenry grasped it pretty easily. And I think it was 2.5 or 3%, if I remember correctly. But it doesn't affect the year-round population at all. And that's, I'm sure, why it was popular. But, you know, we're going to expand and we're going to offer these services, and we desperately need those EMS, especially with, you know, flooding and rock slides. Crazy people. Chief's laughing. Yeah. I like that idea. Anybody else got anything? We could talk about budgets all night, as far as I'm concerned. I love budgets. Did you believe that? Mayor and Assembly discussion items. Dan, welcome back. Would you like to start us off this evening?
I have nothing.
Sam?
Nothing at this time, Your Honor.
Orion?
No, thank you, Your Honor.
Reba?
Nothing at this time, thank you.
Deb?
Nothing at this time, thank you.
Jay?
Didn't see a pool in this one, but I suppose it's coming.
I think that's next week's budget. That's next week's budget. I did want to briefly thank staff and the manager, especially our emergency response teams, police department, for the response in DAE today. I was in here watching everybody at staff drop everything to make sure that every person in DAE was contacted, give them the opportunity to evacuate. The manager put his own personal boat out there in DAE in case it became a worse emergency. And I also want to extend my gratitude to the community members who opened up their homes so that people potentially leaving DAE would have had a place to stay. With that, the meeting's adjourned.